Our scriptures are Acts 9, verses 8, 17, and 18. Everybody got it?
Amen.
Starting at verse 8. Saul got up from the ground. When he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. Verse 17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Amen. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Gracious Father and all wise God, I come before you, Lord, humbling myself, knowing, Lord, that I can do nothing without you. For, Lord, you are the vine. I am nothing but a branch. For everything that flows out of you flows into me. I ask you right now, Lord, to let your spirit fall upon me fresh. Anoint me, Father, that I might speak your word, that you might speak through me, that your people shall receive your word as you have for us to receive it. That, Lord, that we may be able to use it as we go forth in our lives to go out to witness and minister to others, that it may bless them as well. Let your spirit flow freely throughout this house, touching each and every one of us. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
For your title today, "Once I Was Blind, But Now I See." Here in this story, we see Paul. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of a Pharisee, meaning his father was also a Pharisee. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a true Israelite. And he was trained by Gamaliel, which was greatly and honorably known throughout as one of the great Pharisees. And Saul, he followed the law to the letter. There was no deviation. So that's what Paul at this time believed in the law, that anybody that did not do the law was against the law, and they were speaking blasphemy, speaking about Christ. So he was the persecutor. He was going around persecuting all Christians or people that were claiming to be Christians and trying to put them in prison. He even got letters from the high priest to go to Damascus that he might find Christians there and bring them back and put them in prison. So before his conversion was like, this is what he did. So I want all of us to take a look back and look at what we did before our conversion. Those of you that are my age, maybe a little older, y'all remember Willie Moores. Y'all remember Pac Jam. We was out there doing our thing. Yeah. And we were out riding around drinking. In our day, if you won't drink, if you was drinking, as long as you won't drive, you were good. Now there's no drinking and driving. We were out fornicating. We were stealing. We were doing whatever we thought that we could do and get away with it. And it was okay with us. But it was wrong. And Paul didn't believe in Christ. So one day, while Paul was on the road to Damascus, a bright light from heaven appeared to him. The Lord surrounded him in his glory and blinded him. Told him, "Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'm the Lord Jesus Christ." So while he was blinded, he gave him commands. And one of those was to get up and go to a certain place in Damascus. And if you look back, this was the way that the Lord touched Paul in a miraculous way. He came to each and every one of us in a unique and different way, a way that we would understand and know that it was him. Me, still ain't getting my testimony, but he came to me after an all-nighter and spoke to me and told me, when I finished, go in the house, put my clothes on, and go to church and get saved. And I did just that. Didn't even take a shower, and I got saved that morning. But with Paul, he had to do something spectacular, because Paul hated anybody that thought about Christ. So what better way to show that that you're real is to blind him to where he can't see nothing, and then let him see what he can do without. And that's what he did. So the men that were traveling along with Saul got him up, and they carried him to the house of Judas in Damascus. Mm-hmm. And there for 3 days, Saul did nothing but pray and fast. He didn't eat anything. And we all know what praying and fasting does for us. It crucifies the flesh, which we all need to do that. It draws us closer to the Lord, that we can hear him. And it also strengthens the inner man so that we can do the will of God. And at the time that the Lord had Paul molded, with the way he came out of this, I believe that he was actually moving things around within him. He was changing him. He was mixing up his core and reconstructing who he actually was. He would take the hatred he had for Christians and turn it towards sin, to hate sin. He took the love that he had of himself of being an Israelite and what was right and the law was right, and changed it into having love for him and putting him first in his life. He shifted things around. He moved things around that was within him, and he turned him in a way that he took his dedication and devotion and desire and shifted it to where he would serve him and do his will. And he did each and every one of us the same way. And he's still working on us. When he came to us and we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, and he entered into our lives, he started working on us. There were things about each one of us that he knew had to be moved out of the way. They were those of us that drank. So he knew that he had to slowly turn things around within you to take that taste away, so that you would stop drinking. Those that were doing drugs, you continued on after you gave your life to Christ, but slowly he peeled you away from those people that you were associating with. He turned you in the inside to where you didn't like it, you couldn't stand it. Those of us that smoke cigarettes, one day he took the desire away, and we had no taste for it anymore. We thought about it, but his grace and mercy was so strong that we didn't want it. We didn't even desire it anymore.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
So he continued to shape us and mold us from that moment on. All right. And to this day, he continues to do it.
Yes.
That's why it says that we are to pick up our cross and deny ourselves daily. So that as we deny ourselves and we pick up our cross, that's him working on us. Mm-hmm. That's him changing the things that we do and molding them into the way that he wants it to be done and who to do it for and with, that he shall receive all the glory.
Yes, sir.
And that we should submit to him in each and every day. And he had to use Paul to show his power. He changed the man that hated Christians and turned him into what I believe to be the greatest disciple, the greatest apostle. When the apostles were wondering who was going to be the best and the greatest, he said, the least among you will be the greatest. And that was Paul, in my opinion. So when Ananias went to see Paul, the Lord gave him directions in what to do. He told him to go and lay hands on him that he might have his sight back. because he had a great work for him to do, that he was going to spread his name throughout the Gentiles. And if it wasn't for Paul, he'd have found somebody else. But I'm thankful for Paul, of who he was and what he did, that he brought us the word of Christ. For he took what was hidden in the Old Testament and revealed it in the New. For he was taught by Christ himself, not by any man or not by any disciple. Christ taught him everything that he knew, and he passed it on along to us. And when he accepted Christ and his eyes were opened, he can now see. The Lord showed him a new way to do things. So now Paul was able to see and not just look. And he could listen and not just hear. For there's a big difference between looking and seeing. Looking is just, it's there. You perceive it's there. Seeing, you actually see it. You're in it. It's in you. Yeah. When you hear something, it's just a sound. It's just a noise. But when you listen and the Lord is speaking to you, you hear it. It's in you. It's in your mind. It's in your heart. You feel it. You know it. So we listen and we see, and the Lord guides us with all that we do. And when his eyes were open, just as our eyes was open, Paul got up. He began to witness. And that's what we're supposed to do. Once we got saved, no, we didn't have any word in us, but we could go and let people know that we're now saved. So what Saul, he stayed with the disciples for a few days. And he learned from them. Immediately afterwards, he went out and he began to witness to any and everybody that would listen. He went into the synagogues and argued with the Pharisees and proved to them that Christ was real and that he was the Messiah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So who are we witnessing to? Who have we brought in lately? Who have we told about God's goodness? That was Paul's life, daily, every day. That's all he did. And the people, when Paul was going around talking about the Lord, the people did the same thing they wanted to do with Christ. They tried to kill him. But his followers, his disciples, lured him out in a basket to let him get away so that he could continue on with his ministry. It lets you know, early on, he had followers when he went out. Who do we have? Saul knew that the Lord had a plan for his life. And willingly, he followed that plan. Everything that the Lord wanted him to do, he did. He wavered not. He did not doubt. He moved when he said move. The Lord has a plan for each one of us. We just need to listen and hear and walk in it. Don't second guess. When the Lord speaks, he speaks. And it's just a soft voice that comes to you out of the blue and says something to you. And immediately Satan comes right behind it. That's how you know it's the Lord. It's always something coming after it trying to convince you either not to do it or to do something or do it in a different way. So there was a time that we were lost. But now we found. Christ found us. He knew where we was, but he found us. Once we were blind with the way of things that we were doing and the way we went about it. But he opened our eyes that we could see. So now that we can see the reality of things, that the things that we were doing was wrong. We shouldn't have been doing them. Amen. That his word is truth. That if you get into his word, if you read his word daily, it's going to get down in you. If you meditate on his word, it's going to work in you. If you believe in his word, it's going to carry you through. is going to keep you. For when you're weak, his grace is sufficient. His mercy is everlasting. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. That he will always be with us and carry us where we needed to go. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So we should know who we are in Christ. We should have no doubts. We are anointed. We are of a royal priesthood. We are citizens of heaven. We are complete in him. We are loved. We are the light of this world. We are the salt of this world. We are more than conquerors. And we are a new creation. So now that we're a new creation, let's put off the old man, put on the new man, walk in love. All those things we were doing in the past, let them go. Paul said, don't forget those things, but always look forward and strive forward so that we can be better Christians, better disciples. For it is us that the Lord has touched to go out to touch others, that they may seek the Lord, that they may feel what we feel and have what we have. For there's nothing that he's blessed us with that is for us. Everything that we've been blessed with is to be able to bless somebody else. If he gave you a car, it ain't just for you to get to and from work or go to the grocery store. It's so that you can give somebody else a ride when they need it. Right? There were many times that I needed one when I didn't have a car. If he paid your bills, it's so that you can let somebody else know he'll pay theirs too. When you were sorrowful and your heart was hurting and he was right there with you and nobody, none of your friends were around. They wanted to hear it. They thought you was having a pity party. He was there lifting you up, encouraging you, letting you know that everything is going to be all right. So we're supposed to go out and share the good news. And let his love shine through us to everyone else. For I heard the other day, a little boy had asked the question, if Christ is in us and he's so big, why isn't he coming out of us? It makes plenty of sense. We'll come in here and we'll praise the Lord and we'll give him everything we got. And we'll go to work tomorrow, and we'll see that one person at work, and you're ready to cuss them out. But you got to dig deep. Remember who you are. Smile at them. Tell them about the goodness of the Lord. It'll change them, because eventually he's going to touch their heart, and they're going to change. So let us all remember that we are here to serve others. We're not here to serve ourselves. We're not here for our own pleasing or our own needs. We're here for the Lord. He is our Lord and Master and Savior. So let's keep that in mind as we go out on this daily walk, crucifying our flesh, crucifying ourselves, spending time in his word, letting his word mold us, shape us into what he wants us to be. That's why it says that we are the clay. He's molding us. He's shaping us how he wants to shape us. Just like it says that the clay is molded for royal use and for noble use, as well as use for just anybody. He's molding us for royal use. We're nobles. We're not just anybody. We're his children. And we can walk this life in victory. Just listen, do, be obedient, and continue to spread his news just as Paul did. For Paul suffered. And he suffered, I believe, more than we'll ever suffer. He went through a lot. But he made it. And now he's sitting in heaven. We can make it too. So let us hold dear to the Lord and spread his word. With that said,